Good morning, people of Zion.
Good morning.
Got a couple of announcements to get us started today. On Wednesday at 7, we'll have Pastor Nierman here, continuing his series, on the somewhat good kings of Judah. There's a deadline approaching for Thrivent Choice dollars, so if you have those, you need to get them designated by March 31st, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, talk to Jeff Federke or Kathy Ashmeyer. And then there is a special collection for the recent tornadoes and floodings, and that they can use prayers, brooms, mops, etc. There's a list in the handout. They're collecting on May 5th at the Orphan Grain Train Warehouse in Napoleon. And you can also donate money if you'd like to, but that's to help people that have been affected by the recent bad weather. And so with that, let us begin. Our first hymn is number 861, Christ Be My Leader.
Christ be my leader by night as by day.
As we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. That you may be feared.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we cry to you from the depths of our sin. We were born into those depths and need your word to call us out of them. We have sinned against you with our thoughts, our words, our actions, and our inactions. We have lived according to the flesh rather than the Spirit. From the depths we wait for you. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, deliver our soul from death, our eyes from tears, and our feet from stumbling. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. You are precious in his sight because Christ is in you. Upon this, your confession, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, has forgiven you all your sins. God strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean, cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now please rise out of respect for our gospel. The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning her brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into this world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and seen what he did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message. Good morning. So, do you guys know what emotions are? What are emotions? Yep. Glad, happy, sad. Do you guys know what logic is?
You're making sense?
Yes, that's just right. Where you think things through one step at a time. So sometimes it's better to work with emotions. Like if you want to give your mom a hug, you don't want to use logic for that. But sometimes it makes better sense to use logic, like when you're fixing a bicycle. You don't want to get mad when you're fixing a bicycle. Does that make sense? So which one do you think is better? Are emotions better? Or is logic better?
Logic.
You say logic and you say emotions. We have a disagreement. That's kind of right, yeah? If you're fixing your bicycle and you get mad and you throw your bicycle off a cliff, it does kind of matter, right? So sometimes one works better for what you're doing and sometimes the other one works better for what you're doing. So that's what the sermon today is going to be about. It's going to be about one. Sometimes one is better, sometimes the other one is better. And I want you guys to try to listen to decide which one Jesus thinks is better. Okay? Can you do that for me? All right, very good. We now continue with our hymn number 420, Christ, the Life of All the Living.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1982, Dr. Kevin Lehman published the Birth Order Book. It has since sold over 1 million copies. In it, he explains how if you're an oldest sibling, you'll tend to be more of a people pleaser and be more likely to take responsibility for things. But if you're a younger child, you're more likely to be outgoing and creative. And if you're a middle child, you're more likely to be insecure about your place in the world because you think your parents gave all their attention to your older and younger siblings. Now, why would a book like that sell 1 million copies? Well, it's because people really want to figure themselves out, to fix themselves. They want to figure out why they act like they do. And toward that end, America spends upward of $300 billion every year on mental health. Self-help books alone are estimated to have sold nearly $17 billion worth in 2025. This morning, John gives us a case study of two sisters and their differing response to tragedy. Now, we could look at them and say, wow, she really messed that up. Or, I bet she acted like that because she was the older sister. But I think more instructive for us is to look at how Jesus saw them and look at how Jesus responds to them. Now, the sisters are, of course, Mary and Martha. I'll start with Martha, since she's the first one with speaking lines. What do we know about Martha? She and her sister are recurring characters in the Gospels. In Luke chapter 10, we get a little bit more insight into Martha. It's the story where Jesus is at their house, Mary is sitting at his feet listening to the teaching. But she leaves Martha to do all the serving. Martha gets annoyed with this and asks Jesus to have Mary do her fair share. So what does Jesus say? Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So to put it in our terms, Martha is the responsible one. She sees the big picture and all the things that need to be done to maintain a respectable house for their guests. Jesus gently rebukes her, telling her that her picture is too small. Mary has the better perspective with her eye set on heavenly things. So let's go back to our reading, our gospel reading, where Martha heard that Jesus was coming. She went out and met him. Her picture has gotten a little bigger here. She's paying attention to Jesus more than her obligation to be a good host. So she goes out to meet Jesus and she tells him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She's still focusing on the circumstances, though. She blames Jesus for letting Lazarus die, not yet really embracing the reality of who Jesus is. She continues, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. She wants something, but she's unwilling to ask for it. She wants Jesus to ask for it instead. She's got faith in God, but she's not acting as though it was God himself standing before her. She sees Jesus as someone with a special connection to God. Jesus needs to fix this, but he's gentle with her. Your brother will rise again, he tells her. And her response, well, sure, in the resurrection on the last day. See, she's a good Israelite. She believes in God. She believes in the resurrection of the dead. But that's about it. Jesus says to her now, I am the resurrection and the life. This was what Martha needed to hear. That the resurrection is not only some future event, the resurrection was standing right before her. The source of life, God himself, was standing right there. He had come to her town and eaten her house, and now he had revealed himself to her. We see that she gets this. Jesus asks her, "Do you believe this?" And she says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Finally, Martha sees the whole picture. Jesus didn't want her to serve everyone while he was teaching. He wanted her to see him. He didn't just want her to believe in God. He wanted her to believe in him. And she finally did. Mary, on the other hand, she reacts to the death of her brother a little differently. When Jesus comes to town, she doesn't even bother to get up. She doesn't react. She's at home, mourning. Not because she doesn't care, it's because she cares so much. Remember, this is the same Mary that used a year's worth of wages, worth of expensive ointment on Jesus' feet and then wiped them with her hair. Compared to Martha, who was practical and no nonsense, Mary was given to grand gestures with little thought to the consequences. She was the extrovert to Martha's introvert. Or we might say, the big feelings to Martha's careful logic. So we would expect that when she gets out to see Jesus, she would have a completely different reaction to him and something completely different to say. At the end of verse 32, it says, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Hold on, that's the same thing Martha said, with the same kind of accusing subtext. I guess it makes sense since they were sisters after all. Only Mary, instead of explaining herself, she had fallen down weeping. And Jesus' response to this, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. He doesn't try to explain himself. He doesn't try to correct her. He doesn't tell her, there, it'll be all right. No, it says Jesus wept. Sure, he's the Christ, the Son of God, coming into this world. But when Mary is hurting, he cries. When you're hurting, he feels it too. The only difference is you can't see it. But you know, I don't think Mary saw it either. She was on the ground at his feet, thinking about one thing only, that Lazarus was dead. Mary wasn't concerned about the finer points of theology. She just knows that Jesus is her friend, that he loves her, and that she wants something from him. Oh, and that he's the Christ, because she's been paying attention. So, Jesus does what Jesus does. He asked where the tomb was, he went there, he asked them to open it, he says a little prayer, and he yelled at a dead man. Now, Jesus didn't... Sorry. Jesus didn't raise Lazarus just for Mary's tears or just for Martha's confession. He did it for both of them and for every person standing there that day, so that they would believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And through the scriptures, that we would believe the same thing. In fact, he says this in his kind of pointed prayer in verses 41 and 42. "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." Also, notice how Jesus' prayer echoes back to his discussion with Martha. She had started out saying, "I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." He ends saying to God, "I thank you that you have heard me." He's confirming her knowledge and strengthening her faith in just the same way, or in just the right way, that she needs to be comforted. Mary got a different kind of comfort. Jesus wept with her when she was sad. He connected with her in an emotional way, which was just what she needed. Notice what he didn't do. He didn't tell Mary that she needed to make a clear confession of her faith like Martha did. He didn't tell Martha that she needed to get out of her head and explore her emotions more. He loved them both. He loved them in their different ways, and he accepted them just the way they were. Now, I'm the oldest of six children. According to the birth order book, I should be very conscientious, a rule follower, and drawn to authority. According to our gospel reading this morning, none of that matters. Jesus loves me the way I am. I'm naturally analytical, which has served me well as a computer programmer for many years. Now I find my free time filled with articles from theological journals and big, thick old books. But that's just how I'm wired. Emotions, on the other hand, I don't trust them. They're fickle, given to change at a moment's notice, unreliable, and quite frankly, exhausting. I'm going to guess that there are some of you here this morning that are more like me, maybe not all the way, but more like me. And there are others that are more like Mary, navigating life with their heart. And here's the point. Jesus loves us all. He comes to us as we are, answers every question, and wipes away every tear. He doesn't want us to change, to become more intellectual or less, or more emotional or less. What he does want is for us to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, coming into this world. He wants us to ask the Father for every need and trust that he will take care of us. And then what does he offer us in return? Well, it's the same thing he gave Lazarus. I know this is Lent, and I'm preaching an Easter sermon here. You'll have to forgive me. But he gives us resurrection, but an even better resurrection than Lazarus. Lazarus was raised for a few more years of life, and then he died again. But we will be raised to life everlasting. Lazarus was raised back into a world still corrupted by sin, but we will be raised into a new, perfect world. And that's what really matters. That's what we believe. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now continue with our hymn number 733, O God, our help in ages past. As always, we thank you for your gifts. They are what keeps this place running. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. We give thee but thine own, whatever the gifts may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Now we continue with our prayers. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in baptism you have given the new birth of water and the Spirit. Make your children strong in your Spirit, that they may shun the works of the flesh and live in this world expecting the resurrection and the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, bless Matthew Harrison, our Synod President, Kevin Wilson, our District President, Logan Shiway, our Circuit Visitor, and our pastors, whom you have sent to prophesy your word to us, that your Spirit's breath would enter us and we may live forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, soften the hearts of your people in every home. Turn parents and children toward each other in love and patience. Banish the spirit of impudence, stubbornness, and rebellion from all. Sanctify us in your truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of hosts, you are the true source of life, which you give through the power of your Spirit. Humble those who are given authority over the lives of our people, that they would discharge this duty honorably in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O great Redeemer, we hope in you, for with you there is steadfast love and redemption. We cry to you on behalf of those suffering affliction, including Don and Alice, Margaret, Bernetta, Gary, Deb, Francis, Todd, Bill, Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Norma, Ron, Vicky, Kyle, Marilyn, Renee, Michelle, Diana, Carolyn, Jordan, and Tyler, as well as the family of Judy Federke. Assure them that their iniquities have been washed away in Christ and their sins forgiven in his blood. Grant them healing and relief from their burdens according to your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, your Son is the resurrection and the life, in whom all the dead will rise and through whom your elect will live eternally in your presence. Give comfort to all who mourn, that they might not grieve as those who have no hope, but as those whose hope is in the crucified and risen one. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord God Almighty, through your Son you have kept the promise of the ages and rescued us from sin. You have raised up the dry bones of a people captive to death and made us alive in Christ forever. Sustain us in this hope, that we may endure the tests, trials, and troubles of this life and be ready when our Savior comes again in his glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine on us and be gracious to us. The Lord look upon us with his favor and give us peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, and we'll finish with our hymn number 809, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
right, thank you all for joining us this morning. Remember, you don't need to change, you don't need to fix yourself, you don't need a self-help book. Jesus loves you just the way you are. So go in peace and serve the Lord.